Okay, thanks everybody, and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Dr. Cowan and Friends. And there haven't been too many friends who've had repeat performances, but Dolph Zantiga is one. We first did our podcast is probably 2.5 years ago or so. And then we were also joined by somebody I haven't met, Mario Brainovic. Is that right?
Yes, Brainovic, you pronounced it well. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Okay. And so Dolph is the president or founder or owner, I'm not sure, of the company that makes our water wand, which we have been carrying now and selling for a number of years. And I've used it myself for a couple of years. And people have a lot of questions about it. And then the thing that really provoked this for me was, I think I got an email from you saying that you have a new product, which is a whole house device. And so we wanted to hear about that as well. But Dolph knows this. Mario, you may know it. But I always like to give different introductions, not like this guy went to school, because nobody really cares about that. So the introduction I would start here, and why I'm so interested in what you guys are doing, is, you know, I've been on this journey for, I didn't even realize it, but I've said this before, my whole life, like a lot of us, to find out what's true. Now, the way that I did that, and again, I didn't even realize that I was doing it, nor did I realize that this was kind of a thing, like Sherlock Holmes did it like this, and a bunch of people, is not so much by trying to figure out what is true, but by looking at what isn't true. And I figured, I wasn't conscious of this, and now I am more, that if I got rid of everything that isn't true, I would be at the end of the rainbow with a pot of gold. And the only thing left would be what is true. And it turns out that's how Sherlock Holmes did his whole thing, which is to eliminate, he said, what's not possible. And then you're left with what is possible at the end. So in this journey, you know, the heart doesn't pump the blood, and vaccines aren't safe and effective, and cancer is not a genetic disease, even has nothing to do with the nucleus. And then came viruses don't exist. And then came a whole lot of things, like the floodgates sort of opened. And I'm to the point now where I'm not even convinced that the physical molecules that we say, like insulin and adrenaline, actually exist in that form in living systems. I'm not sure that they don't yet, but I'm not sure that they do. And the reason is because if you go to the procedure of how do you know there's insulin, immediately once you remove it from the body and you mix it with chemicals and you do this and that, you're so far away from what happened in the body that you can't do controls some of the time. So you don't even know whether that thing actually existed. And the upshot of that is, in thinking about medicine, I'm no longer interested in results that have to do with like removing things from the living system and seeing like how many of them there are or whatever, because there's so many steps in that process which potentially confound the result. So where does that leave somebody who's trying to understand what happens when you do something? So, and this is why I was so interested in what you guys are doing. So in other words, what we want as this new science, this new biology that I keep talking about, is to measure things and evaluate things and see things without disturbing the thing. In other words, if you have a seed, can you measure the light that's emitted from the seed without making conclusions, like without putting it in acid and dehydrating it so you can measure stuff, but just what is the emittance of light or sound, or, and then can you compare that with not like how much insulin somebody has, because that gets so complicated to even know what you're measuring, but how does a person do, or how does the plant grow? Does it bigger? Does it smell better? Because if you smell something, you know, you can be biased, but you're not manipulating the information, right? You're just seeing what, observing. And then the process of science to me now is enhancing our observation abilities. So we get more precise and more exact and more clear. And then you end up with a science of life instead of a science of dead things, which is always misleading. So that's why when I heard what you were doing, it sounds, I don't know if you were thinking of it exactly like this, but it sounds like you guys have whatever decided, or I don't know how it came about, to actually do a science of quality, a science of life. Because it's all about quality. Like the reason you eat this food instead of that is not because it has 6 carbon atoms and the other one has 8. It's because there's a smell and an aroma and an experience. That's why we drink water like this and not like that. And of course, it may be translated into, you know, dipoles and bonding angles and all that. Anyways, that's a bit of a long-winded explanation for why this is so exciting to hear from you, because I think you guys are really pioneering this way of doing what I would call quality-based new biology. And you might say, Tom, that's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with what we're doing, but I don't think so. So with that, maybe Dolph, start us off, and what in the heck are you guys doing there?
Well, I think, Tom, first of all, thank you for this amazing introduction. And I think that this introduction is very much in line in really what we do. Let me start at the beginning. Why did we do it anyway? The first thing is that we live in what we call a scientific world, and that is based upon certain paradigms. And if you want to get out of the paradigms, then suddenly you're not seen as a scientist anymore.
Right.
So what we do is that we have a very small focus, and the focus is becoming more and more dense nowadays. And you must have the guts and also the willingness to step out of that fear that you don't stick to that paradigm. And I think what we did is very simple, and that is based upon, well, old manuscripts. And you see that back in Hinduism, Buddhism, the very first beginning starts with energy. Energy that moves to matter. And what we have seen is that if you look to the current world of scientists, we haven't got a clue how energy is built up itself and moves to matter. That is, we are in the kindergarten of that. So what we did is that we really looked to how are all these things working together. And finally, we found out that there are some elements in this world that respond immediately to energies instead of creating immediately matter. And one of those elements that can hold of this information is water. And we also found that what is bringing that information, that is light. And these two create something, and they build a kind of structure, and that creates finally a certain effect into a biological system. And that was for us completely new, because nobody has ever told us how it works, because we live in a chemical world.
Yeah.
As you just mentioned, we live, are there 4 molecules or 8 molecules? That doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
What do they do? What is the role? What is the function? And not only that, how does it communicate with other systems? We are looking now only what you just said, only on insulin, but how is the rest of the organism working? And that whole holistic view and the view to energy was for us really the beginning. So we had to start from scratch, and we simply look to biological systems. How do they respond to energies, to light, to water? And then we build up the knowledge. And from step to step, we increased our knowledge. And that is how we finally came to this conclusion.
So, Dolph, are you using the words energy and light synonymously?
There are more forms of energy. But
yeah.
In light, and we are absolutely in kindergarten in that respect. We think that light is just 7 colors. Well, when I worked in the telco world, I worked with light, with laser light.
Yeah.
So what we did is that we put all kinds of information on light.
Yeah.
Like a movie or a radio. You can put it on light and then you can transmit it with the speed of light. But then I thought, why is not the cosmos doing exactly the same? How is it possible that in spring, all the leaves are growing, and then suddenly in autumn it goes down? It has to do with light. It has to do with information systems. And our DNA and everything is responding to that. So energy and light has, so it's more information.
So in other words, the information system equivalent to, it's the example I use with the radio. You're never going to figure out where the sound of a radio, the song came from by dissecting the radio.
That's it.
And you can dissect it down to atoms, even if atoms exist, which I'm not even sure that they do actually. They're essentially models of probability, so to speak. But the information, the real essence of that comes in that case from a radio wave. So
that's it.
So you're saying the information comes from many sources, but through the light in particular.
Yes, light, sound, and specific vibrations.
Yeah.
And that is something we really have to start to understand. Because what we saw and that is what we measured with light. We looked to all those energies and we could measure with light, what are the effects on biophotons? How do they respond? And suddenly we saw waveforms. And they started for some part in the ultraviolet, and then they moved to the next octave, and then to the last octave with the near infrared. And we looked from octave to octave, and we saw tones and overtones building up. And suddenly we noticed that there is a whole orchestra going on in our body, and that is constantly working with us, and we haven't got a clue. We only look to the chemicals in our body.
So let's unpack that a little bit. So you started measuring what you're calling biophoton emission from living systems. Is that right?
Yeah.
So do you have even a conception of what a biophoton is?
Well, it's a part of an electromagnetic field. It is responding to a certain part into your system, yes. And we also look not only in the biophotons, we also look to it in the next waveform, because biophotons can only be seen in a certain part of the visual light, although you cannot measure it with your eyes, but it is only in one octave. Then we look what is happening in the next octave of a system. And the octave means the vibrations moving from ultraviolet to visual to near infrared. And they all work together. So what we started to believe as well is that if you have information and it is coming in, then we think, oh, it blocks at your body. No, it moves on. It goes on. But it moves on in another level of your body. And on top of that, we haven't got a clue that we also have maybe multiple layers of our body. And also maybe multiple energy layers in and around our body. We only look to the physical part, and then even a small part of it.
Yeah. So let me see if I got this right. So what you're saying is the information is coming from the outside in the form of these waves, which even that's an interesting thing, whether they're actually like perturbations in the ether, so to speak. That's a whole nother subject. But so anyways, the information comes in light, and then it gets somehow processed in the biological system, including us, and then it gets emitted in the form of a transformed energy wave called a biophoton or part or something, you know, not sure what that is, but that emission also comes in the form of various octaves, meaning layers of emissions.
Yes, correct. And what we saw, Tom, is that has an effect upon the chemical reaction.
Right.
For instance, one of the things we thought, there is one wave, but there were also tones and overtones. And that is very important because, for instance, we swallow vitamin C in a chemical way. But then you miss, for instance, certain tones and overtones that makes a connection, for instance, with iron in your body or copper or another thing. So we only look to one chemical bound, not knowing that all the things work together in an orchestra.
Yeah. I mean, it even gets into the something that I've known about for 30 some years, what's called biological transmutations. And I'm not sure if you've, but it turns out that these chemicals like potassium and silica and calcium are not even fixed in a living system. They get transformed one into another. So there, this thing we call life it's a symphony of transformation of substance, so to speak.
Absolutely. I'm completely aligned with you, Tom.
Yeah. And I think the point of it is, insofar as the symphony is in harmony and playing beautiful music, that's what we call health.
Yes.
And a dissonant, discordant symphony, you know, where the oboe's playing one tune and somebody in the violins playing a whole different piece, that's what we call sickness.
That's it. And then we move to the next stage, Tom, because what we found out, and that was also new for us, is that water, our body is almost completely water. Yeah, I told you already previous time that 99% of your molecules in your body are water molecules. But when we go to the doctor, we only go to the doctor for that 1%.
Yeah.
That's a rather strange democracy.
Yeah, right. Similar to a lot of other things, unfortunately.
And what we found out is that water cannot correspond with all those frequencies and waves, then it cannot do its job in the most optimal way. And then we looked to water, and then a whole new world came up. Then we found
what do you see as water's job?
It is a communicator. It brings in, it has the ability to bring in the information, get out the right information, and stay in communication with all those frequencies from outside.
Uh-huh. So water is the conductor of the symphony.
That's it.
And so it's the water that says, oboe, play a little softer, or we mean more of this light frequency and that more of this sound. Okay, bring in, you know, 440 frequency or something.
Absolutely. And if it is spring, there is another sound than in winter.
Yeah, right. And it's not a fixed sound, it's an evolving sound.
Every day changing, every day, with a new moon, full moon, every day changing. And it has an effect on the hormones, our enzymes, everything.
And your company, your mission is to document this. Is that?
Not only that, we also want to bring it to the world because we have seen it has a huge effect, for instance, also on all the living systems, but also, for instance, on our food. Because one of the things that came out of our research is that the food we eat, Tom, has low frequencies, especially when you use toxins in agriculture. And everybody's used. So we can get a much higher level of frequency as a human and much better health if we have much more understanding of the frequencies and what we eat and what we drink.
So how are you measuring these frequencies? And Mario, if you want to ever jump in here, please do. But how do you document the frequencies of the plants that we're eating?
Okay, well, very simple. You take, let's give an example that we did multiple times, hundreds of times. We tested more than 100 types of tomatoes. And we compared them on the same soil, on the same conditions, but we gave them two types of water. And then we measured the frequencies and the tones and the overtones. And then we saw that those tomatoes that got our water had much higher level of energies and much longer tones and overtones. And you didn't need any toxins. And they stayed much longer fresh. And the taste was also better.
So you got more overtones with your water. Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
It's more complex and stronger.
That's it.
I mean, that's an interesting definition of what it means to be a human being. If you're simple and weak, that's probably not a good thing. And if you're complex and strong, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, what we saw, because if you would measure the tomato with and without the treatment, you measure the same calcium, the same potassium, the same iron, and that is how the chemical world is looking to it. But it was not the structure and not the communication and not the light. And that is what you eat. You eat frequencies.
Does the potassium and the calcium, does that change as well or just the frequencies?
Most of it is frequencies.
Most of it. And can you just give us a sense of how you're measuring that?
Oh yeah, we measured most of the time in different ways. Also chemical, by the way. Well, but you measured it with Raman, you measured it with ultraviolet, you measured it in the UV, and you measured it in the visual light with all kinds of light forms. And then you could see the waves. And then on top of that, you did also the chemical compounds. And then we also measured the ATP. But Mario is going to talk more about the ATP later, because the ATP became suddenly an important item for us in this whole structure, because ATP in the cells, they create the energy.
Yeah.
Mario did a lot of tests last year with that respect as well. So he will give you more information upon that.
You know, I don't know, Mario, if you've heard what I've had to say about ATP. I don't know if you know that.
No, I haven't, please.
So let me say that and then you can comment on it, because this I must say, like most things, I did not make this up myself. So if I'm wrong, I can blame it on somebody else. But one of the myths that I think is out there is that ATP is energy. And it turns out that, as far as I can see, is not true. So what is, but that doesn't mean it's not important or a crucial part of our biology. What it does, if you can imagine the water that you're talking about that does these, you know, communication is coherent water, right? So how do you get coherent water? It's the same as with making Jell-O. You take water and you put proteins in it and nothing happens. And then you heat the mixture and that unfolds the proteins. And then the water can essentially use the proteins as a nidus for forming the coherence. And then when you cool it, it cools into a gel. So in living systems, it's the same. You have these folded proteins in water, and then they can't communicate. And we can't put like a heating source in our cells, because obviously that wouldn't work. So what happens is the proteins get attached to the ATP at the end. The ATP is a stimulus for unfolding of the proteins. That allows the water to form coherence around the proteins. And then the water creates the energy field. And so it indirectly does create energy, but not because it's a chemical bond, but by its communication with the cytoskeleton, the protein structure of the cell or the tissues. Anyways.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. We went kind of the regular, quote unquote, way how you usually measure ATP. We employ this luciferase. Yeah. It's an enzyme that catalyzes light production in bioluminescent organisms. And due to its extraordinary sensitivity, you can classically measure the intercellular ATP in biological systems. So yeah. what we did is the baseline test where it was double-blind placebo-controlled study where we measured ATP levels. Then people in the study drank
in
water.
In ATP levels in where?
We drew blood.
Oh, in people.
In people, yeah. Humans. Yeah. It was human study, yeah, of course. And then people drank 1.5 liters of water for 2 months without changing anything else in the world. They didn't change their diets, exercise regime, anything else. Everything stays the same. And then we did, after 2 months, we did the second test. And then we did another measurement. And we had a 20% rise in ATP levels over the placebo. So entire mitochondrial energy of the body have risen for 20%. So we can go into details about what I love. I'm 100% on board with what you said. Like, energy comes first, biology follows.
Yeah.
And what we kind of found out that we are doing, we did the microbiome as well study, double blind placebo control, and we also had amazing results with it. Everything kind of comes back to the energy. Like Nikola Tesla said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Yeah.
Right.
And water is a broadband absorber, receiver, and transmitter of energy, frequency, and vibration. And therefore, right, it's critical. I believe that life informs life about life through, yes, water. That's why we call Analemma the architect of life, so to speak. Because water molecules, the structure of water molecules, turn our body into an antenna. So we become able energetically to receive the optimum information for our health. So everything within ourselves start to communicate in a much better way. But not only that, since we're a part of this enormous ecosystem, we start to communicate with it in a much, much better way. There is one extraordinary study, early study that Dolph did with seeds, where we had this huge correlation with circadian rhythm of the earth, with the moon cycles, which is extraordinary. Maybe Dolph can tell a story about it, which we really kind of saw that biological system get connected to something which is much larger than ourselves through being exposed to Analemma water.
So just to go back, so this variable, the independent variable that you switched for this placebo trial with the ATP, that was having people drink water stirred with the Analemma wand.
Yes, that was the only thing. That was the whole measurement was if everything stays the same, if they just drink the water, 1.5 liters of water a day for 2 months, what will be the impact? And was very clearly proven. So it was really a remarkable result.
So they took the same water, same exercise, same everything. And just to the details, how long did they stir the, because I know people are going to want to know, how long did they stir the water for?
Well, we always have the same system. So if for 3 deciliter water, you always have to at least swirl for 30 to 45 seconds. And then you can extrapolate from there. So it's very important. That's why we actually created the whole house system. So people don't have to swirl anymore. They just install it in the piping system of their house. And wherever they open their faucet, Analemma water is going to start coming out.
Got it. But so if you stir for 2 minutes, that's you, because I know a lot of people have the wand and they're going to ask me how long. Stir 1 liter for 2 minutes, you're good.
Yes. Yeah, you're good. Basically, that's basically it. Well, that's the whole system. Since water is a broadband absorber, receiver, and transmitter of frequencies, it will always respond to the most dominant positive frequency. It can respond to any frequency, but an Analemma water, in our experience, is the most dominantly positive frequency. And any H2O molecule that comes into close proximity to the mother water, which is inside the wand, will start to mimic its exact state. That's how an LMA is elegant, but that's why you need to stir for a while so that you're 100% sure that all the molecules enter this very special liquid crystalline state.
So in other words, however the water got to inside the wand, that's what you guys do. That's
yes,
essentially not the point really for us. The point is that water communicates with the water in your bowl. And yes, if you stir it, it sends a frequency, some sort of signal to the water in your bowl that makes that water be also coherent and have this effect of with the ATP and the rest of it.
Yes. And not only that, the stability of it is remarkable. I'm sure that yeah, Dolph spoke about it. We kind of did many things to it and it never lost its state of coherence. Wow. That's why it's so special.
And so tell me more about this. So it not only is helping the receiver, you know, generate more energy, i.e. ATP, et cetera, but makes them more receptive to different frequencies. Can you say more about that? Like you're more in tune with the cycles or...
This is that wonderful, beautiful study. I don't know, Dolph, would you like to present it? Because this, it's a beautiful study. It was really one of those, oh my God, moments in the study.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, first of all, we did a lot of tests with seeds, different types of seeds.
Right.
One of those tests is that we use different types of water. And then we used the same water, and then we used the stick, the lemon stick, and then we did the same treatment. And what we saw was really amazing. We saw that suddenly there were certain waves coming up. We could measure that with light. And we didn't know where it's coming from, but finally we saw that the analemma waves were completely different. They had a certain rhythm that was really remarkable, and we really wanted to figure out where's it coming from. Then in our database, we compared it with the moon cycle. And this was amazing because the moon was just half an hour ahead with the same cycle, with high and low tide, with the same frequency, the same level. And if you took out some of those seeds, you also saw the seeds that communicated with each other, and still the wave was going on. It was really amazing. And then we saw that the real water is constantly in tune with the frequencies that we can't see. And that is a test that we have done multiple times now. And we constantly see that the analemma water, because we also saw the same with the sun. We did measurements on the sun, and exactly, we did it for months. Exactly 1 hour before the sun was rising, we saw an increase of the energy. And every day, the minute was changing because the sun was going up earlier, and we saw every day a change. And the same was happening in the evening. So we saw that the moon and the sun were constantly communicating with electromagnetic waves that we can't see, and it was coming back in the analemma. And we couldn't find that frequency back in a normal water. And beauty of this was, Tom, is that we did the same with polluted water. And then again, the rhythm came back.
So in other words, there is a rhythm of communication from based on sun cycles and moon cycles that communicates to the water, which then you can measure.
Yeah.
And the water that's exposed to the analemma is better able to receive and those cycles and then communicate what it's received than water that's not been exposed to the analemma. Is that?
It goes even further, Tom. We also then beamed energies, negative energies, to the seeds, and they were responding to it. And only the water that was not treated with analemma was limiting in its energy layer, but the analemma was constantly having the same rhythm.
So in other words, if you treated the seeds with analemma water, it maintained its communication with other sort of cosmic frequencies, yep, whereas water not treated became more disconnected.
Yeah, and we saw the same last year. We did a very important test in the agriculture, and we could see that all the bacteria, fungi in the soil were responding to it. and they were increasing dramatically, we saw an increase in the DNA of the variety, which was very critical. And suddenly we also saw that there was much more CO2 absorbed into the soil again. So the whole holistic environment with the air and the light and the soil was all suddenly becoming normal again.
And the CO2 probably was absorbed then into the plant or into the organism, into the soil, maybe into the organisms in the soil.
Correct.
To be used as fuel, because CO2 is not a toxin, it's a food.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was very important for the plants.
Yeah.
It's incredible. That study was really, really, really incredible. Like, we took completely depleted, destroyed soil, which was completely infertile. And part of it, we watered with NLM water, and part of it, watered with regular water. Part watered with regular water, basically nothing happened. And in a part that was watered with NLM water, there was a huge explosion in the biodiversity of the microbiome, just like Dolph mentioned. So much so that the bacteria started to suck CO2 out of the atmosphere where it belonged. Fuel, just like you mentioned. But there is one amazing also element, which is very important, is that usually when the rain falls, the minerals kind of get washed out of the soil. But in the soil that was watered with NLM water, there was a retainment of those minerals. So all of these minerals actually end up into the plant itself. So when we use it, that's why we have both minerals and all the nutrients plus the energy.
Right.
Which we talked about is so essential.
Right. So you can, you know, what's so interesting about this, and my prediction is it's really always the case, you're measuring energy frequencies and chemicals.
Yep.
And that's, those two are always in communication, I think. And like you say, we ignore the frequencies and just try to manipulate chemicals as if they're independent of the frequencies, which of course they're not.
That's the whole ballgame. What you're saying is absolutely true. We never look to the energies. They should be in harmony and then the rest will follow.
Yeah.
But we do it the other way around.
Yeah. You know, and there's so many interesting studies that like they've done with putting, it'd be interesting for you to look at, they put seeds in distilled water, you know, and the chemicals of the seedling are different than the chemicals in the seed. So the energy transformed even the minerals, which they say can't happen, but of course it does happen, because the energy is first. Energy organizes the minerals into a living being, not the other way around.
Yeah.
That is
that is important, became very important for us, Tom, because then we were looking around, are we messing around as human mankind with those energy layers?
Yeah, right.
And that's so,
say something about that, because my guess is the answer might be yes.
Well, how long do we have, Tom?
Give me the short version.
Well, we make a big mess out of it. And that is the simple answer. And we do it on multiple levels. We do it with chemicals. We do it in the air with pollution. And nowadays we do it with electromagnetic fields like mobile phones and satellites. And when we build it up, we do a fantastic job to kill this planet.
Yeah. So all these things, the chemicals have frequencies and the pollution has frequencies and the frequencies have frequencies. And these are not the frequencies that life is meant to thrive under. Is that basically it?
That's it. And as a matter of fact, especially in the US, there is now a conversation going on that due to the climate change, they want to cool off the frequencies of the sun that come in. And then they want to put in calcium carbonicum into the air by a plane so that the layers of the sun cannot really heat up this planet. I think this is one of the most stupid ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because what you do is you block a part of the information system.
Right. And do you have any experience or information on whether NLM water... I mean, you obviously need the information, otherwise you can't do anything, but it seems to help the water absorb or accept the communication system.
Yeah. And Mario is also doing multiple tests now, also in agriculture, and we love to do tests on polluted soil. Because
tell us something about that. Mario.
Yeah, this is the first test that we did. This one is on microbiome, which when we clearly saw that when you water a polluted earth with it, it changes dramatically. It's so extraordinary how simple it would be. Now the whole agriculture world is plagued. The earth is plagued with toxins and it cannot recover. And they're trying to recover it chemically again, which doesn't work. It just doesn't. And This is a very simple way. You just water large chunks of land with an LMA water and the whole system would change energetically and chemically. Just like we mentioned, biology always follows the energy. And this is where we need to change. Water, this structure, as I mentioned, turns everything into antenna, so to speak. And everything, all biological systems start to receive the optimum frequency and everything then follows and adjusts. I want to come back to the whole microbiome because I believe our microbiome is everything actually, is like above, so below, so to speak. Like people, we like to think of ourselves as the single species, but we are actually in an entire ecosystem. We're living in symbiosis with trillions of microorganisms, and they're so abundant that there are more of them than actual human cells, which is extraordinary when you think about it. And all of these organisms need to work in equilibrium with us so that we would have the optimum health. And with our food and everything that's happening, we're destroying the whole species within our ecosystem, and that has extraordinary bad effects on everything on our health. What we wanted to, since we saw this extraordinary explosion,
in particular, not to interrupt, but in particular, what seems to happen is you get a lessening of diversity, right?
Yes. Yes,
that's what happens.
And not only that, now in the last couple of decades, science has really made the connection between the state of microbiome and basically any area of health. I don't know if your listeners are aware, but you know, gut bacteria they are producing neurotransmitters that are actually being delivered through the gut-brain axis to the brain, and they're creating neural pathways. They fire and wire in a different way. So microbiome not only can, but is influencing how you think, how you feel, and how you perceive yourself, which is extraordinary when you think of it. 70% of our immune cells exist in the gut lining, which is, I mean, since all of the most of pathogens come into us this way. But a lot of people aren't aware that our microbiome, the bacteria in our microbiome, is teaching our immune cells who is the bad guy and who is the good guy.
Yeah, I actually not sure I like that, because we don't actually have an immune system as far as I can see. They made that up to convince you that there was viruses. What I think a better word is, we have a detoxification and regeneration system. And so the lining of our gut wall is a gel. Mm-hmm. And if the gel is not healthy, it shrinks just like any gel. Then you get, you know, toxins absorbed into the organism that shouldn't be there. And then you digest them like garbage collectors. And unfortunately, we call that an immune system, but it's actually a misleading word. But I think if the reason I bring that up is if you think about it from a digestion and detoxification and then regeneration, it will actually open up a lot of research for you.
Awesome.
You will see that what we're doing, not fighting bad guys, but regenerating and getting rid of toxins. That's really what's happening here.
I agree with you 100%. I just wanted to kind of open the whole discussion in the microbiome, because we did this double-blind placebo-controlled study where we measured dysbiosis index. So it's dysbiosis index of the microbiome. It describes the degree of deviation within the microbiome, taking into account all the bacterial phyla and species and their weighing factor. And we did the baseline test where we measured the dysbiosis index. And then again, people drank the water, a liter and a half of NLM water for 3 months, and without changing anything else in their world, without changing their diets, without changing their exercise regime, anything. And then we did the following test. And we had the following test. We had on average 17% improvement on the dysbiosis index over the placebo. So that clearly showed that there's something, again, in humans as well, special happening with the microbiome when people drink this water.
You know, it's another thing that you, I don't know if you've thought about this, but again, I'm the sort of myth buster guy. We have this theory that each individual bacteria species is a separate species, you know, right? There's strep and there's staph and there's E. coli, and there's no connection between them, right? They're all different, like giraffes and frogs and zebras. The reality is not, that's not the case. They all come from a common, you know, like Bechamp and a bunch of Royal Rife and Gaston Naissons. They've all seen these and given them different names like bions. And so these precursors, given the right energy system, will become all these different types of organisms that you see. You don't have to even seed them. They come, they are essentially evolved. That's maybe not the right word. Basically on their own. You just put the right energy there, you'll get the right, you'll get more and more different bacteria. If you put more complex energy field, you'll get a more complex symphony out of that with more overtones, and it's more and more beautiful. I think that's what you're seeing there.
Yeah. Tom, maybe it's also very interesting, and I hope that within a few months I could give you that final report as well. We work on it now. What we've also seen in water is that how bacteria are communicating with water. If a certain energy level or frequency is in water, then there is a balance in the bacteria. But at the time when we are going to change the frequencies, you see the number of bacteria, and especially the harmful ones, growing dramatically. And suddenly, because bacteria in itself are neutral, they are in balance, but suddenly they become like toxins. And it has everything to do with the level of frequencies in water. That is what we found out in our laboratory. And that has a huge effect upon our health. And I hope that within a few months, I can give you the report on that, because you would love to see that.
Got it. All right. So you guys came out with the a water wand, say, 3 years ago or so. And then what I think you said, but what was the impetus for making the whole house thing? And what, just tell us what is in it? Like, what does it do? And how do you put it in? And just because people are going to want to know the details.
Actually, it works in a similar way, just like the regular NLEMA, but you know, it looks like a muffler of the car. so you have the pipe going in, the pipe going out, and we have mother water inside, so that water goes through, We did a lot of testing on it. So the results are actually exactly the same like you would receive with the regular wand. But you don't actually have to swirl. And everywhere around your house, you have this coherent water. But what is very interesting is that we started a study. Very soon, we're going to have 100 people study now, where people are just lying in the water. They're taking a bath for between 20 minutes and an hour. And the results are beyond phenomenal. Something happens there. I know that, you know, when you lie in water for 1 hour, since skin is the largest organ of the body, you are going to absorb a lot of water, up to a liter in 1 hour. But we think that there is something special going there and on energetic level, because people started having amazing results. People that had severe heart issues, that had very low cardiac output, their cardiac output went extraordinarily, like they really became almost 100% healthy just by taking several baths. And the numbers didn't go down. Wow. So cardiac output, stroke volume, blood viscosity, everything changed and stayed that way, which is really remarkable. We just recently, a month and a half ago, started with the study, and every single person in the study experienced the same effect. Even the athletes, which really have strong cardiac outputs, their cardiac output even increased, of course, by a little, not by too much, but people who have serious issues with their hearts, that improves dramatically. So we're really, really excited about that whole avenue. And, you know, when people purchase whole house in Alema, they can take baths and experience the benefits. But as soon as we have the complete study done, we'll definitely share the results. I just wanted to share really exciting early results, which are very, very consistent.
Well, I would also love, because so many, you know, because I've been talking so much about how to do studies, and if you could send us whatever studies have been done, we would be able to post them, because people are absolutely going to want to see the actual study
most
and
definitely.
The data.
So, most yeah, definitely. If you could please. Most definitely.
So this is like a muffler size thing that has water inside it, the mother water, and the water from wherever your well or the town goes through that, goes through some sort of whatever vortex or something, comes out the other side, and then it's as if you stirred it.
Exactly.
But you don't have to use the wand then after that anymore.
Right? Yeah.
So I use the wand always when I go traveling.
Yeah.
And that's it. But in house, it's all done.
Got it. I'm not surprised the idea that bathing in the water is maybe even more profound. I mean, this is the story of lords and the Ganges and a whole lot of these are strong energetic fields, right? And the energetic field that you're in will be somehow absorbed in. Yeah. Maybe final question, have you come across a way to measure coherence of water directly? In other words, is there like bond angles? Is there, I mean, you can measure like light coming off or frequent, but can you take a water and say that's coherent or not just by...
Yeah, but not in a few minutes. It will take a full day or multiple days, because you have to measure on different time zones. And you have to look to the connection between the water bonds and the stability during a certain period. So you can do that, but you have to buy expensive equipment, because you have to buy, you have to do it in near infrared. And you have to know exactly what you're looking for. So you need an expert to be, to look to this. So it's doable. We have done it. But for us, the most important thing was always the outcome in biological systems.
Yeah, right.
I can jump on and just to say, because this is something that anybody can do. It is going to take some time, but is something that anybody can do and prove it in their house. You can take two basil plants. Basil plants are very delicate. but they grow very fast. And you water one with an enema water, one with regular water. Of course, if you have the enema, otherwise you can't do anything. So you water one with an enema, one with regular water. And after 3 weeks, you just cut their water supply. And you can even increase the stressor. You can even increase the heat or whatever, do something to them. And you can observe the results that are going to happen. You can see that the one watered with regular water is going to shrivel down very fast. And the one watered with an enema water is actually going to become, will stay very strong, untouched. Yeah. And if you just put a couple of drops of an enema water on it, it's extraordinary to observe how it bounces back, even when it's kind of a bit under stress. It just bounces back. The resilience of the plants on NLM water is extraordinary, and everybody can observe. And we've received like thousands and thousands of people pictures of their plants on NLM water. And I have to mention one other thing. When we were doing the glycan age study, which actually we haven't even mentioned up until now, we told people in the study that they should expose their NLM to the sun. So what they did is one lady, actually, she put her analemma in the middle of her kind of short plant garden on the same spot. And she every single day. And after a month and a half, she sent me a photo. It's like you drew a circle around the analemma. All of the plants grew inch and a half higher than anywhere else in the garden. It's like you drew a circle. So there is a powerful energetic effect that NLMA has on plants and all biological systems. And now we're actually, this is what Dolph mentioned, we are now going very heavy into agriculture research just to see and to measure everything, how it happens. We're even thinking of creating a grid because we want to see which size an NLMA would have which kind of diameter of influence, and then we can create grid.
Yeah.
And then we could have powerful effects on the biological system, of course, on the whole agriculture world, so that energetically these plants and everything would revive. And we want to actually do the math so that we know exactly how to approach and how to apply the whole technology so that we have the best possible results.
Got it. All right. Very exciting. I think we got it here.
Awesome.
Unless if you have any final words, otherwise, I love the idea of helping people to do their own experiments at home. Don't take our word for it, my word for it. I don't want that. I want people to see what they feel, see what effect it has on the plants. This is how we're all going to learn together.
I think so, Tom. And one of the things that I want to mention is that all the research we do, we will put it on the website. It's for the public. And if people have feedback, let us know. We are open for it. We love it.
Got it. All right, Dolph, Mario, it's great to see you again.
Good.
Thank you so much.
We will be in touch. And this was wonderful to do this.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.